Seth Zuckerman of Seattle, Washington, recently went on a crash diet. He wanted to cut the carbs. Not carbohydrates, but carbon dioxide, those greenhouse gases partly responsible for global warming. So Seth got a personal trainer, sort of a carbon coach, to help him count his CO2 output and find ways to cut back. Seth Zuckerman wrote about his experience in the current issue of Sierra Magazine, and he joins me from Seattle. Seth, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
So Seth, you actually went on not one diet, but three carbon dioxide diets.
That's right. In the first week, I was trying to get my carbon dioxide emissions to about 122 pounds per day, which is the U.S. average. And in the second week, to the world average of 24 pounds per day of carbon dioxide, which is what the average person on the planet emits. In the final week, I was trying to get them down to 9 pounds per day of carbon dioxide, which is my share of what the Earth's systems of soil, forest, and ocean can absorb on our behalf.
How much carbon dioxide were you producing, you know, before you went into the first diet?
It was probably on the order of about 40 pounds per day of carbon dioxide. It was a time when I wasn't counting every pound as I did once I started to go on the diet. And so it actually took some effort to get my consumption up into the range of the average American.
Really? What'd you have to do?
Well, one of the first things I realized was if I didn't use more gasoline, there'd be no way I'd be on a par with the average American. So I rented an SUV, and for the errands that I had to do around town or across or in the Seattle metro area, I just drove everywhere. And it made a huge difference compared to what I was driving at the time.
How much extra carbon dioxide were you producing with that SUV?
That brought my carbon dioxide emissions up by at least 10 pounds a day. No question. And it, you know, depended, you know, how much driving I actually had to do. There was another time when we just used our own car, which is a relatively fuel-efficient VW Golf, and we just traveled further. So it was a matter of getting out of town, loading up the car with a kayak, taking a ferry, which burns diesel like there's no tomorrow. And so either driving farther or driving less efficiently seemed to be one of the key factors.
Did you ever figure out how much 1 gallon of gasoline was producing in terms of carbon dioxide?
It's between 19 and 20 pounds of carbon dioxide for each gallon.
Seth, admit it. Wasn't it fun driving the SUV?
It was a different experience. I had a much better view crossing Lake Washington with that extra foot or so under my bum. And it wasn't so much that the SUV itself was fun, but not having to feel any limits was the most fun of all. Realizing that my objective wasn't to conserve, which so often is part of my mindset. My objective was to consume.
But you really had to slim down that second week. You went from 122 pounds a day of carbon dioxide to, what, 24, the world average?
That was the objective, right? And so that meant pretty much, it meant the diametric opposite. You know, instead of trading my VW Golf for an SUV, I had to trade it for a bicycle and take that on the bus when I was going places. And though we had to save up, so we're going to take one car trip that week, and we rented a Prius to do it, and we managed to keep our consumption down to 9 pounds of carbon dioxide each by using that Prius. You know, as it happened, pulling out all the stops, by the end of the week, I found that I'd actually beaten that world average and gotten my consumption down 20% below. And that was about the equivalent of a Mongolian's fossil fuel use. And let me tell you, it was rough. It was, I wasn't hungry. I wasn't cold. But I had to think about my fossil fuel use every moment of the day.
And then you really had to slim down to 9 pounds of carbon dioxide a day. How did you do that?
Well, what we realized, my carbon coach and I, is that there was no way I was going to make it down to 9 pounds a day, short of turning off all the lights and the heat in the apartment building and fasting in a closet for the week. And so instead, my carbon coach suggested, why don't we think about the structural changes it would take to get down, for me or anybody else, to get down to that level in this country. And those turn out to be structural changes in the efficiency standards for our cars. They turn out to be changes in how, in the kind of electricity we produce.
But Seth, given the fact that you, you know, enjoyed that high carb diet so much, and it was so difficult to get low, I guess what I'm getting at here is that, you know, this lifestyle that Americans have enjoyed and do enjoy is not without its rewards. It's a little bit like you know, eating candy.
You know, and you can't stop with just one. When I was doing this project, after finishing the first high-carbon week, I didn't really want it to end. I just said, well, I just kept putting off the low carb. I'll start diet. Well, we'll start the diet next Tuesday. Oh, well, you know, that's really not convenient. We have to go see this friend who lives across town. Let's wait just another couple of days. And it was hard to give up this idea of wanting to use more. And it brought home to me that unless there's some really compelling reason to do it, it's going to be very hard for me or any of the rest of us to make the changes that it'll take to keep us ourselves from warping the climate any farther.
Seth Zuckerman is a freelance writer based in Seattle and author of My Low Carbon Diet from Gas Gluttony to Fuel Fitness in 3 Weeks. Well, Seth, I enjoyed talking with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.